Hello, Cray America. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer. Coming up on The Mad Money Machine, show number 3. A chance to win Kramer's book and a rare Mad Money tchotchka. And we'll take another spin at Guru Roulette. This week's tool from the crib is like dental floss. And we'll go pumping for profits as our portfolio for 2006 is now underway. All that and more on The Mad Money Machine. Happy New Year 2006. Thanks for listening and making this podcast number 5 now in the iTunes business category. Just amazing. Fantastic. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Coming up, like I said, later in the show, I'm going to give you a chance to win Kramer's newest book, Real Money, Sane Investing in an Insane World. And also, I'm going to give away a very rare Mad Money tchotchka, which is a Kramer notepad. I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. First of all, disclaimer, this show does not provide any financial advice whatsoever. I'm just telling you what other people have said, basically. Do your own homework before spending any money. Okay, everybody's got predictions for 2006, and I've got a couple that I'll give to you. First of all, we talked last time about tax loss selling. Wowch! Didn't that look like that happened? As December... the final week of December, a lot of downturn in the markets. Then we're talking now about the January effect and how that's supposed to kick in with the small cap stocks. I think basically what that means is the small cap stocks are supposed to outperform the larger company stocks in January. I guess because they're the more volatile, they're the more thinly traded, therefore they can be moved to a greater degree. We talked about tax loss. What about tax gain selling after the year? Okay, the theory behind tax loss selling is that as people have invested in 2005 and their stocks have taken a loss since their purchase, well, they want to sell those stocks before the end of the year to take that loss on that year's taxes. And what about the opposite, which you don't hear very much about, quite frankly, tax gain selling? What about if someone has bought a stock in 2005 and it has gone up, but they don't really want it anymore? Should they sell it on December 30th or should they sell it on January 3rd? I think probably January 3rd, because that way the taxable gain, the capital gain, rolls into 2006's tax year, doesn't it? And then you'd pay that tax in April of 2007. So I wonder, it'll be interesting to see if the stocks that have had gains will show some sales early in 2006. As for my other prediction, did you see the commercial on TV this Christmas holiday season? It was about a beer commercial for Miller Lite, I believe it was. It had the house with the Christmas lights on it, and they would flash in synchronization with the music. Sounded like this. That music was from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, a song called Wizards in Winter from their Lost Christmas album. It was a fantastic commercial. We watched that thing over and over and over. If you'd like to see it, if you haven't seen it, there's a link to it on my website, madmoneymachine.com. And my prediction is that this year there will be a company or somebody that puts together a kit that can make your house dance to music like this. Of course, it would have to have an FM transmitter to be able to, instead of blaring loudspeakers out in front of the house, that's what this guy did in Ohio. And, of course, it'll be a lot cheaper, I imagine, than his was, too. I think he spent about $10,000 on lights and equipment and everything in a couple of months getting it all synchronized together. But I think somebody's going to probably sell a kit. Now, the thing then to look out for is, what company makes the kit, and can you buy stock in that company? Now, you can see a link to the commercial also on the website, and that's it for the predictions for 2006. Let's get right to the Mad Money Review. It was a tough week for Kramericans, as Kramer took a week off from his show. And I don't know if he'll be back on Monday or not, being that's the federal holiday. On the first show, I went through a fairly tedious list of stocks, comparing backtesting Cramer's performance, some of the Cramer's picks, versus just a basket of exchange-traded funds, basically stock funds that own lots and lots of stocks across a large basket of categories. I'm going to update the table out on the website under the portfolio tab, but basically just to update you for on the podcast, the performance of the Cramer picks from September 30th, I think it was, yes, September 30th through December 30th, his basket was up 1.9%. The exchange traded fund basket was up 3.6% when you count in, I'm counting dividends rolled back into all of these. The dividends on the ETFs haven't been paid yet, but they have been declared. So go out to the website and take a look at those. Now, you might say it's not really fair, the portfolio that we have put together for Cramer stocks. I mean, it includes some real dogs in it, like the Martha Stewart OmniMedia, down 30% since September. Any sane person would have sold that early on, I think. And Cramer did say earlier on his show to get out of that, as he did with Cendant, which is down about 16% since that time. So, and we had a lot, percentage-wise, we had a little bit more in Martha Stewart and Cendant. Fully one-tenth of the portfolio was in those two stocks. So, while that portfolio might not be fair, we are going to start a new portfolio going forward and have a look at those stocks. You can see that list of portfolio on the same page on the website, the portfolio page. Basically, one stock from each of Cramer's 10 discretionary portfolio categories. I won't go through them again. I went through them on the last show. The exchange-traded funds, we have 10 there. And we're going to track them, and we're going to see how well we do. Can our Cramer featured stocks beat a basket of exchange-traded funds? On December 14th and 15th, Cramer started his Dirty Dozen. This was a number of the industrial companies that he believes when interest rates stop going up, when they stop raising interest rates, these companies will start taking off in stock. He mentioned Harsco Corporation, ticker symbol HSC, and Crane Company, symbol CR. Then on the 15th, he mentioned Cummins Incorporated. These stocks have, these stocks had a Cramer crackle, I'll call it. I'm going to coin a term called the Cramer crackle. You've heard snap, crackle, and pop. Well, this is the Cramer crackle. What happens when he mentions a stock on his show is that the next day's opening price is about 2% higher than the previous day's closing price. The Cramer crackle on Harsco was 1%. The Cramer crackle on Crane Company was 1.9%. The Cramer crackle on Cummins Incorporated was 1.8%. But unfortunately, since those opening prices on December 30th, those stocks have been down 3.5 and 0.2% respectively. But so, you know, maybe they're on sale. Who knows? Could be time to buy into the Dirty Dozen. One thing you might notice is, so far he's only mentioned 3 of the Dirty Dozen. That leaves 9 left. This is an idea I got from kramersmadmoney.com, a unauthorized discussion forum, to think about what might be the other 9 Dirty Dozen stocks that Cramer will come up with. And I think he gave us a clue on December 23rd. During the lightning round, someone asked about Cooper. And they may have been asking about Cooper Tire, but Cramer threw in, kind of as an aside, that he was looking at Cooper Industries to be one of his Dirty Dozen. So, you know, perhaps on speculation, one could buy Cooper Industries, ticker symbol CBE, and then look forward to the Cramer crackle the next day. Another poster on the discussion forum went by the name of Alexander Liroff. He's got a website called Beat Mad Money, Parker.blogspot.com, and he thinks Parker Hannifin might be a company that could be added to the Dirty Dozen. And he's also suggesting Eaton Corporation, ticker symbol ETN. So it might be worth doing a little homework on these, and coming up later in the Tools in the Crib, I'll show you how to do this homework using that dental floss, remember? But right now we're going to play a little game, and it's called Pick the Cramer Pick. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some stocks that Cramer featured on a recent show, and I would like for you to tell me which one of those stocks has performed the best since that time. Okay, here we go. So November 17th was the show date. He featured these four stocks. First of all was Alvarion Limited, ALVR, an Israeli technology company that makes WiMAX equipment, the computer communications protocol that allows you to communicate up to several miles instead of just several feet. He said it's near a 52-week low and there's not much downside. It opened the next day with a Cramer crackle of 12.1% at a price of $8.60. The next featured stock is Walmart Stores, ticker WMT. Two thumbs way up, do a mom back. The Cramer crackle was 0.9%, traded at $49.66 the next day. Next one was Eagle Materials, symbol EXP. He said there was a 28% short ratio. They're a cement maker. And, of course, there's a shortage on cement. He said do a mom back hand over fist on this stock. The Cramer crackle was 2.4%, went up to $115 the next day at opening trade. The final stock I'll give you in this challenge is GameStop Corporation, ticker symbol GME. He got on his knees and said it is a $40 stock masquerading as a $35 stock. The Cramer crackle was 2.9%. It went up to $36.75, still under his $40 price target. So, I would like for you to think then about which one of these stocks did the best. Alvarion, Walmart Stores, Eagle Materials, or GameStop. We're looking for November 17th through the December 30th pricing. Well, if you said Alvarion, no, that stock it did go up. You had a gain there of 1.4%. It went up from the next day's opening price of $8.60 to a December 30th close of $8.72. So you made a little bit of money there. How about Walmart Stores? No, you would have been down 5.76% on Walmart. Again, maybe the stock's on sale. How about GameStop? Nope, down 13.41% GameStop. That one's really on sale now. So the winner is Eagle Materials, ticker symbol EXP. It went up 6.4% even after the Cramer crackle. So congratulations to those of you that chose Eagle Materials, the cement maker. Now it's time for the Tools in the Crib segment. This is where I talk about a website, a book, a TV show, a newspaper column, a software tool that you should have in your investing tool crib. Well, for this show, I have used both of the tools that I've mentioned on the previous show. The Excel plugin, I use that a lot. That's fantastic. And I use the MSN Stock Screener to help me find some of the Dirty Dozen companies that I mentioned. This time, I mentioned how the tool in the crib is like dental floss. You're supposed to use it, but you never do. When Cramer says buy and homework, I'm sure that he has this website in mind. Now, you can do a Google search about a company and see what other people are saying about it, or you can go directly to what the company is saying itself, and that is at the Edgar site at www.sec.gov/Edgar, E-D-G-A-R. You can find the companies statements. You can find their 10-Ks and 10-Qs, their annual reports and quarterly reports. You can find their 8-Ks, the other filings. You can even find Form 4s for insider buying and selling. For example, I went out to the iRobot section. You simply enter the ticker symbol IRBT, and you see in there, in their prospectus, it's kind of funny to see the pictures of soldiers on one page and a mom and baby in the kitchen on another page, but they have two interesting product lines in robotics. But a warning, after doing all that work, reading about the stocks, reading about the companies, you may tend to fall in love with that company. Don't! It's just a piece of paper. If you can't help yourself, then just take a job with the company. That's this time's Tool in the Crib. That leads us into our next segment called Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble. Then for the selected guru, I'll give a little background on their investment philosophy and pick a stock that matches it. So here we go. Warren Buffett. No, it popped out of Warren Buffett right into Peter Lynch. Peter Lynch is our winner on the third Mad Money Machine. Peter Lynch is a noted fund manager of the enormous Fidelity Magellan Fund and then author of two investment classics, 1989's One Up on Wall Street and the 1993 Beating the Street. I've read both of these books, and I really love the part about buying stock in companies that were either dull, disagreeable, toxic, or depressing. He even says he prefers to invest in a low-growth industry like plastic knives and forks, but only if I can't find a no-growth industry like funerals. His point is that the high-flying stocks are often targets for too much cheaper competition. The boring ones don't have any competition. Well, the first book, One Up on Wall Street, is a must-read. It's a classic. It's one that people refer to. The second one, only if you want some of the nitty-gritty. Peter Lynch's key philosophy was to go to the store and see what was hot, and then do some more research about it. Maybe even call the CEO. Go into the stores and see how well the product is being sold. Today's investment houses call that channel checking, in a sense. Remember when Cramer talked about Alberto Culver the other day? He said we need to buy the stock right here and then sell it into the mass launch of the Nexus product line. He said, you see, there's going to be newspaper stories about it. Investors will see Nexus products lining the aisles, and they'll feel like the invisible hand of Peter Lynch is telling them to buy the stock of the company that makes it. You don't want to be one of those people. You want to be one of the people that sells Alberto Culver to one of those people, hopefully at a really inflated price. Well, Alberto Culver, symbol ACV, previous day that he mentioned it, December 20th, closed at 44.83. The next day opened up 45.74, Cramer crackle of 2%. Peter Lynch, what would he pick? I think he likes the regional to national plays. He likes the idea that you can find a small, growing company that will spread throughout the country. A couple of those that Cramer has mentioned in the past, Zoomies, again, I mentioned. The regional to national play on young apparel and snowboarding equipment. Then Sonic, the drive-in that has the fantastic shakes and burgers. And then maybe a boring stock for Peter Lynch. How about Florida Rock, symbol FRK, since rocks are hard to transport over large distances, it kind of limits the competition that you'll have in any one area. And with all the road building going on in the southeast, with the highway bill and all that, Florida Rocks could be in big demand. So I'm going to conduct a little Peter Lynchian experiment right now. One of my Christmas presents this year was the Jones Soda 2005 limited edition holiday pack. And if you haven't seen this, it was available exclusively at Target. It is a boxed set of 5 Jones soda beverages with some pretty exotic holiday flavors. The flavors are, let me just first say, it says on the side, our master chefs have worked tirelessly to create the perfect no-carb holiday meal by using only the finest ingredients. The main entree, and this is one of the drinks, slow-roasted turkey and gravy flavored beverage. The side dishes, then, wild herb stuffing beverage. Third one, Brussels sprout with prosciutto. Is that how you say it? And then cranberry with orange zest. That sounds natural. The final beverage in the Jones Holiday Pack selection was the dessert, pumpkin pie de la creme fresca. So I am going to perform a Peter Lynch experiment right now. Let me turn off my compressor so you can hear the sound as I open the bottle. This is a very rare treat. First, I'm going to open the Jones Turkey and Gravy Soda. And pour it into a little glass here. Here's the tasting. Turkey and Gravy Soda. Ugh. Yeah, I can taste the gravy. Wow, wait a minute. I can taste the turkey in that. That is amazing. Oh my gosh. All right, let me finish off that course. Mmm. Oh, that's really... It's sweet, but it has Splenda as the sweetener. That's why it's no carb, no calorie. Turkey and gravy. That's wonderful. Mmm. Not too fizzy. It's got a little bit of a fizziness to it. But the smoothness of gravy and just the hint of that meat taste in the turkey is in there. I'm going to move on to the other beverage. And that will be my favorite vegetable, Brussels sprout soda. Brussels sprout soda. Oh, I can smell it. Wow, it really comes off the glass there. Let's see. It's now the turkey and gravy was obviously kind of a light brown in color. The Brussels sprout is kind of a medium green, medium to light green in color. So here we go to the tasting. Mmm. It's sweet. Oh. I think you really have to like Brussels sprouts to like this one. That's got an odd taste to it. You can tell that the it has the prosciutto, the meat in there, probably a very fatty meat, and you can almost taste the fat in that meat in this Brussels sprout flavor. Amazing. Yeah, I don't think I can imagine myself going out and drinking one of these just for refreshment at the ball game. But makes a fantastic holiday meal. Well, what would Peter Lynch say about this? He would say that you really want to look at Jones Soda and how well are they performing. How well are they performing? Let's take a look. Let's use our tool in the crib this week and go look at the Edgar site for their company reports. They have, you can go to Edgar and enter their ticker symbol, JS. DA. Is it JSDA? Jones Soda. You can enter the ticker symbol at the SEC website. Bring up their reports. The 10K is their annual report. The 10Q are their various quarterly reports. One thing I'm struck by in their most recent quarterly report is that their earnings look like they have gone down in the 9 months year over year from the beginning of 2005 to through September of 2005. Just looking at one number, it looked like the earnings went down over the 2004 same year. But if you read more detail, you'll find more detail in the actual results later in the report. And maybe there are some other numbers in there that make up for that one. But the other number thing that you'll find is that, yes, they do distribute their beverages exclusively. They have a relationship with Target for some exclusive distribution. They also have a distribution agreement, or had one, with Starbucks. So that could be a nice outlet for Jones. I'm just going out to the jonessoda.com website, and I see that in addition to this, what they call the national pack available at Target that I received for Christmas, they have a regional pack of the holiday beverages, five drinks, and their flavors on that regional pack are broccoli casserole, smoked salmon pate, turkey and gravy, corn on the cob, and pecan pie. So I'll let you try those beverages and get back to me. So Peter Lynch is our winner this time on Guru Roulette. Go out to the madmoney.com website to see a link to his books. I do recommend getting that first one. The second one, well, maybe not. It's time for me to give away the Cramer book, Cramer's Real Money, Sane Investing in an Insane World, and the tchotchke, which is a Cramer notepad. Let me get it. At the top of it, it says, it's got the Mad Money logo. It says Dr. James Cramer, with the address underneath, CNBC Global Headquarters, Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, weeknights 6 and 9. Then it has a place for the name and the address of the patient. At the bottom, it says, remember, there's always a bull market somewhere. Number of refills, unlimited. Watch nightly. And it has a place where you can either check buy, sell, or hold, or booyah, with the CNBC logo. I'll give this and the book away. Here's what you need to do. Go to the website, madmoneymachine.com. And as a favor to me, just click on one of the Google ad links. Go to that page, then click the back button in your browser. You see the item, the picture I've placed in today's, in this show's blog listing. It's a picture of a license plate, which is mine. And if you will put into the subject line of an email sent to feedback@madmoneymachine.com, the characters that are on that license plate, email that to me, along with any comments that you might have about the show. You don't need to put comments, but if you want to, I'd appreciate it. I'll take all those email submissions, and I'll randomly pick one. And hey, if you're the only one to make an email submission, then you're the winner. So you would get the book and the rare Mad Money notepad. Now here's the privacy policy. I promise not to sell or give away your email address to anyone else, and I promise not to spam you with junk mail. I might email you every once in a great while about important announcements about the show, but you won't get stuff every day like you do from those other websites. I'll announce the winner's first name on show number 5, I think, probably in about a couple of weeks. So get those entries in and be the winner. Time now for pumping for profits. Well, I'm running a little bit toward the end of what I want to be my allotted time on this show, so let me just give you the website address again for the portfolio. We've got the 10 Cramer picks are on there. We're going to start out those at the December 30th closing prices. We're going to put about roughly $10,000 into each one of those 10 stocks as a pretend hypothetical portfolio, just to use round numbers. And then we're also going to put the equivalent amount into the each one of the exchange traded funds. And next show, then we'll start looking at the performance of those. We will start thinking about each one of those stocks in the Cramer portfolio. Do we want to continue holding them? Do we want to sell them, perhaps, and get into something different that has a little more upside potential? And then we also need to think about the tax consequences, don't we? Mad Money Machine has a pretty broad audience, ranging perhaps from Cramer himself all the way down to little kids. So I want to put some stuff in for those who are new to stocks and investing. I'll place this beginner-level stuff at the end of each show so that the experts can either grab a kid or new investor to listen to it or to skip to the next show on their iPod. So experts, that's it for you. Please subscribe to the podcast feed to get another round of review of Jim Cramer's Mad Money, another spin at Guru Roulette, and we'll look to see how well our portfolio did in 2006, starting out the new year. Please don't forget to read the website at madmoneymachine.com and send your questions, comments, complaints, and criticisms to feedback@madmoneymachine.com. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes stock to make a mad money machine. So, if you're still with me, thank you, beginners and kids. Last, on the previous show, I said that owning stock is like owning a very, very small part of a company. And I've talked about how buying stocks is just like buying things at an auction, where buyers and sellers agree upon a price. This time I want to talk about the difference between the ask price and the bid price. When you look at stock prices throughout the trading day, you will see something referred to as the ask price and the bid price. Typically the ask price is going to be a little bit higher than the bid price. Let's say you want to buy a stock. You'll typically go look up the most recent price that somebody paid for it to give you a guide as to what you would expect to pay. Now, I should tell you that the auction house in this case is known as the stock exchange, and it's open for trading on weekdays, Monday through Friday at 9:30, and it closes at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Here's a way to think about the difference between ask and bid prices. If you went to a live auction, all the people out sitting in the chairs that are bidding on an item for sale, well, they are suggesting what the bid prices would be. The people up at the podium are asking for a price. Let's say when they very first begin auctioning off an item, they'll say, "Who'll give me $100 for this item?" That's the asking price. When no one bids, maybe somebody will bid $10, or maybe somebody will bid $50. That's the bid price. That's a good way to think about the difference between the asking and the bid prices for a stock. Well, it works similarly in the stock market. When you put in an order, you can either put in a market order or you can put in a limit order. Cramer's talked about this on his show. He suggests limit orders only. Well, market order means whatever the person is asking, I'll pay it. And so the guy steps up to the podium and says, "Who'll give me $100? And you raise your number up and you say, "I'll buy it." That's what a market order basically is. A limit order says, "I will buy that for up to, say, $70. And so when you bid on your stock, you'll put in a bid price. That'll be your limit order. For the largest companies that are trading out there, the ones that have the most volume of traders doing the buying and selling, the differences between the ask price and the bid price are often very small, maybe just a penny. For thinly traded companies, small companies that don't really trade as many shares in a day, the asking prices and the bid prices can be fairly far apart. You can see then when you put a market order in on one of the smaller companies, you are paying up for the stock, as Cramer says. You're buying it at whatever price the lowest seller is asking. Instead of doing that, you can put in a price somewhere in the middle. A little bit higher maybe than the highest bid price, but lower than the lowest asking price, hoping that someone who's willing to sell will meet your bid and sell it to you at that price. When someone sells their stock to you at your bid price, you're on your way to making a mad money machine. That's all for this time. Please subscribe, and I'll see you next time on the Mad Money Machine. You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. All music played on this program was made possible by music.podshow.com. The Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, TheStreet.com, Real Money, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, Mr. Boyer and the producers of this program do not make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness, nor do they assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by Mr. Boyer and any of his guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.